The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hi, Parker. I'm in training, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm getting ready for the Easter period. I know coaches don't like it, but us fans, we love it, don't we? Those two games over the Easter period, bring them on, baby. I've been eating my Easter eggs, I'm full of energy, I'm raring to go.
I wondered why you was dancing around that microphone.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing this podcast while I'm running.
You are so, you're so full of beans and full of energy, I don't know what's gone into
you. Full of chocolate, man.
We're full of something, I'm not sure whether we can say it on air.
Yeah, welcome to another final hooter. We're talking Rugby League on loverugbyleague.com and our friends at Radio General, Sound for Warrington Hospital, that they've very kindly used all this swanky equipment we got in front of us.
And we thank them very much for that.
We sound like amateurs using it, but yeah, they let us use the equipment and they're just quite happy as long as we give them a quick name check on our show.
We do okay. We do okay, don't we?
Big question before we kick on, shall we? When's a forward pass not a forward pass?
When St Helens are playing, by the look of it.
Yeah, bum, we're getting Easter jokes in already.
Excellent. There's another one.
Don't go down that road.
Okay, right.
Anyway, before we move on, my daughter was asking me once the other day, if you could pick something in real life, how would you describe the final hooter?
I'd describe it as fun-packed hour.
Okay.
All about rugby league.
Well, you see, I went for something totally different.
Oh,
I said that I'd describe the final hooter as a carvery.
A carvery?
Yeah, because on the carvery you get a bit of meat, a bit of veg, a bit of gravy, a bit of whatever you like. That's what we produce on this show. We're giving you a bit of everything regarding rugby league all in one package.
Were you including your cauliflower ear into it from your rugby playing days?
That's way back in the days.
I know, but you can still tell from your
ears.
Do
rugby league players have cauliflower ears anymore? They're all pretty boys now.
I'm not sure. It's
wannabe models.
Certainly, the likes of Chris Hill over at Warrington, he's never going to get cauliflower ears, is he? Because he's always got his ears covered up.
I mean, my word, I was in a well-known coffee shop in Widnes the other day and seen Steve Nash, and he looked well pretty to be a rugby league boy.
They just get a lot of rest these days, don't they? Rest and respite, considering back in the day, they were down the pit and in the mills, weren't they?
Down the pit and in the mills and doing what Vin Crawls did, and that's a run from work from his scrapyard to St Helens.
Yeah, and probably lifting everything just for get your weights in.
Yeah, but I know people are going to point out it's Crawlers, but take it from me, it's Crawlers.
Yeah, well, I'm going with you.
Okay.
I'm going with you. This is where I'm going to agree with you for a change.
Let's move on. Good, bad and ugly. Well, I was going to do it the other way around because we were hoping to have Andrew Henderson on the phone for tonight's show, but we'll try and get him on again another time, shall we? So let's go with the traditional way of doing it and go with the good. Well, the Broncos at long last, Parker, we've got them in the good for this one. Getting back to winning ways after a hard-fought game against Halifax to earn Andrew Henderson his first win as the proper head coach of the Broncos.
Yeah, great result as well for London Broncos. They've got a back line, which a lot of teams will fear in the Championship, but I think that they've been a bit short in the forwards. But that tells me all that I need to know. At home, they're a completely different kettle of fish, to be fair, because they've been able to overcome a Halifax side, which themselves have been going pretty well in the Championship, and to do it 22 points to 18. And Ilias Makani, one of their own, one of the top try scorers in the Championship. I think there was even tries there for Daniel Harrison, Matt Garside, and Brad Dwyer, who's a man on loan.
Plenty of talk about possibly Brian Noble being in the frame for that job, so it's good to see the Broncos giving Hendo his chance.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I'm sure he'd be free to admit that his chance of a first team job has come very, very soon, hasn't it? Very quickly.
Seems to be the thing with London, don't they? They bring in
an assistant
coach.
They check over, don't they?
And then they take over five games later.
Yeah, it does seem a bit of an odd situation that Endo's found himself in, but you know, I don't know whether there's a nicer man in rugby league, to be honest. I've got a lot of time for Andrew Henderson. I've had the pleasure of his company quite a number of times, speaking about the Championship and about rugby league in general. And he knows his stuff, so I'm sure he'll make a real fighting fist of it down
there.
He loves
the game, doesn't he?
Really does, yeah. Yeah.
Another good, Sir Kev leaving for the dark side.
Hang on. That's good.
Yeah, it is. Other coaches have said, get it in, because they're relieved they're not having to deal with his talents on the field after next year.
Well, that's true, yeah. I mean, he's been a sublime player, hasn't he? You know, everybody's always said, you know, he's not been the greatest kicker, he's not been the fastest runner, he's been the best leader in Super League.
without a doubt. He's won many games for Leeds Rhinos. Just when it looked like it wasn't going to happen for them, Sir Kev steps up and gets the game done and dusted for them.
Bit of cine magic.
About that. Well, I've had memories of Sir Kev in a minute, by the way. Moving on to the bad. Well, I've already just said it. Sir Kev leaving Rugby League for the dark side. That is a bad. Blow for the game.
Is that the only time that we're going to mention Rugby Union in this this year's show?
I've just said dark side. You mentioned the RU words.
Sorry. I always mention it, don't I, for some reason.
Can't help yourself.
To be fair, I don't know. I mean, he's 34, 35
been
now.
A great ambassador for the game.
Great
though.
Ambassador,
hopefully,
I do agree.
Hopefully, once his time is up on the dark side, he'll see the light and come back.
Well, they're already rumouring that he might end up playing some games for his beloved Waterhead in Oldham.
Okay.
When he comes
back. The veteran
back.
Side.
Eventually. You never know. Yeah. The veterans. He could still run round, couldn't he?
Around those hills of Oldham.
Definitely. I mean, you must have played at Waterhead during your time
as
well. I
did, back in the day.
Yeah, it really is on a steep hill, that, isn't it?
It certainly is. Makes Batley look quite narrow. What's the word I'm looking for?
Level.
Level, yeah.
We're just about level here, aren't we, really, to be honest?
So for Red Devils, saying Gaz Hot playing against them in the Cup, it's not happening. They're saying they had an agreement and that allowed him to leave the club, but it's meant he can't play against him in the Cup for Lee. That's a bad, because basically he's not their player, and they're basically saying to Paul Rowley, we're picking your team.
Yeah, I do tend to agree with you there, Adrian. I think it's bad form as far as Salford are concerned. Are they that scared of losing in the Challenge Cup to Lee Centurions?
They must be quaking in the boots thinking Gaz Hocker get the winning try.
To be fair as well, in any other business that would be a restraint of trade, so you know,
I could understand if he was a player on loan. I know when he was on loan at Widnes, Wigan said he can't play against us because he's still their player, but he's not their player anymore.
That's
he's
the
burned
thing,
the
yeah.
bridges.
Apparently it was all
Put
in his
ties.
It was all in his compromise agreement, so somewhere in that was this little bit of small print somewhere, but I don't know. I don't agree with it. I think that this is where our League 13 people, you know, the union for the Rugby League players, they need to get involved, and because I think that a decent union rep would kick that one out straight.
Well, if I was Paul Rowley, I'd kick it into the stand. I'd dig my heels in and say, do one, I'm picking my team.
There has been an interesting development on Twitter where both Marwan Kukash of Salford Red Devils and Derek Beaumont of Lee Centurions have been discussing the issue.
Mr. Beaumont's a very colourful character.
A few fans have had their say as well, so I remain to see what happens. He has been quoted as saying today, though, Marwan Kukash, that there is no way that he's going to play against Lee. So if I was Paul Rowley, like you say, I'd pick him anyway.
Pick him anyway, yeah.
Yeah. What's the worst that can happen?
Exactly. Can't find him. It'd be an interesting atmosphere on the day.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'll have to make sure I get to that one. Oh, I'm going to go with the Crusaders.
No, you're okay.
It's the only different Saturday. Nights, aren't we?
Different
yeah.
days. We'll bring you the Challenge Cup draw later in the show, by the way.
Okay. Moving on to the Rugby League, the forward passes that we just mentioned at the top of this show, that went missing by the referees, which led to two tries, which nearly saved the day for the Saints against Holkinson Rovers. Should have gone to Specsavers, that's what it says on the tops. Open your eyes, officials, come on. Everyone spotted it.
I think there were two dreadful calls, in honesty, but I think what's even worse than that is that on the day you had Stuart Cummins alongside the Sky commentary team actually berating the decision and saying that what a load of rubbish that was, and then 2 days later in his column for one of the Rugby League papers he's backing the referees and saying that you know, the touch judges weren't in a good position to assist. I'm sorry, you can't have it always.
No.
And I think that you know, it should have been picked up. Not once, but twice. And to be honest, there was a movement in one of them tries where two of the passes were forward. So we're not even just talking about the one pass either.
Fair play to Kieran Cunningham after the game. He did say there were two forward passes that should have been given. And to be honest with you, even though he took the drop, it would have been an unfair reflection on the efforts by Hull KR if that kick would have gone over.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think that Hull Kingston Rovers were excellent on the day, but I know they're ugly to chuck in here. Mossy Massoy No. I'm not calling him. Not per se, anyway. But just his general involvement in games at the moment, he just doesn't seem to be getting as involved as I would be wanting him to. He's a huge figure of a man. He's very destructive with his running. He can turn a game, but he's just not playing enough minutes at the moment. And for me, the stats that he's racking up, he only made 43 metres, 5 carries, did 12 tackles and missed 2. So that's not good enough for me, and a player of his ilk needs to be getting more involved.
I hope you're listening, Kieran Cunningham.
Yeah.
It's David Parkinson saying that, not
that,
me.
That was true. So I've done myself a Marwan Kukash there, haven't I? I'm picking...
Next time you go to Lantry Park, he's going to have you.
I'm picking Kieran Cunningham's team for him here, aren't I? You know? So I've just berated Marwan for saying exactly the same thing. But yeah, that's just my opinion. Howard.
Memories of Sir Kev. It's been announced he's leaving the game of rugby league at the end of the season, going to the dark side. Everyone's going to be coming up with this one, so we're going to get him first.
Go on.
Best memory of Sir Kev for me, it was a Challenge Cup game at Widnes. Not sure exactly when it was, 98-99 era. Widnes were leading until Sir Kev came off the bench and scored a hat-trick and won the game for Leeds. I always remember this Leeds player, Leeds fan, sorry, not a player, wouldn't been sat in the stand, would he? A Leeds fan turning around and saying, you might be thinking you've won the game at the minute or you were leading, but wait till you see this guy when he comes on. He's only about 17, 18. He came off, hat-trick within about 10 minutes.
And he played Widnes off the park,
didn't
he?
He did.
My memory's a little bit more general because I think that he is the top skipper that Leeds have ever had in their career, and the fact that he was only appointed at the age of 22 suggests what a good leader he is and has been. And I just think well done to Sir Kev. It's been a pleasure watching him down the years playing Super League, and well, many best wishes in your retirement in Rugby Union.
You can't say that.
What do you mean I can't say it?
He's trying to say, I'm retirement in Rugby Union.
Well, Andy Farrell did, didn't he? He did, to the dark side.
Speaking of social media websites, Gaz Carvel went and put one on, can we mention the name of it?
Go on.
Yeah, Twitter. He turned around and said, well played to Kevin Sinfield, prolong your career for another 4 years. So,
exactly.
Yeah, he's not wrong, is he?
Yeah, well, I mean, all they've got to do is play him standoff, because standoffs in Rugby Union just kick the ball, so he's not going to do any running, he won't do any tackling.
They pass the ball as well in Rugby Union.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen them.
Yeah, they do. They pass it to the big fellas to truck it through the middle, don't they, and eventually get one or two passes to
a
wing.
A bit more technical than that, but yeah, I kind of understand where you're coming from.
Hey, we're not on about technicalities. Just brute force.
Shall we talk about action, shall we?
Go on. Yeah.
Two rounds of Super League done and dusted, 6 and 7. My pick of the action from round 6. Round 7, Hull KR stunning the Saints to give them... the first defeat of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I'd also raise you... a performance of a Kelly who ran in 2 length of the field tries. For a Danny Brough on Huddersfield. Now, he's got Huddersfield in an inspired period of form at the moment, and they went over to the Halliwell Jones Stadium at Warrington, and apparently by all accounts he kicked them to death. He scored 9 points off the boot, 4 goals and a drop goal, but I think it was just his general play and general leadership on the field. It was just too much for Warrington and helped Huddersfield Giants to a 29-10 victory.
My pick of the action from round 6 for Super League 20, Hull FC's big win to surprise the Dragons, 33-22. No one saw that one coming, did they?
They definitely didn't, no. And to be fair, yeah, they played really well in that game, did Hull FC. I'm going to go for St Helens' victory against Warrington Wolves. It wasn't a classic game, in my opinion, but I thought that the Saints controlled it for a long, long period and were able to score 5 tries against the Warrington defence, and Warrington just had a couple of pushover tries from dummy half, and to be honest, that kept them in the game. So my performance for round 6 goes the way of St Helens.
I think the Dragons are one to stay from Humberside or East Yorkshire for the rest of the season, won't they? That's back-to-back defeats for them.
I don't think they've ever won a game, have they, after staying in Hull?
No.
That's just a feeling that I get. Maybe it's something in the water.
It's quite bizarre, though, how everyone was mentioning on the game after Hull KR and Saints, just how long it's been since Saints actually beat Hull Kingston Rovers on the pitch. And like, considering you hear players and coaches saying it's just a pitch with sticks on the end, no matter where you play. Teams just seem to get a nosebleed going to various grounds, but they just can't perform on the day, can they?
But I think you've got to give utmost credit to Hull Kingston Rovers as well, haven't you? Because, I mean, they were superb. I mean, Lunt ran himself to he ran his blood to water, didn't he, on that day? He tackled everything that moved, really did come up with a stunning performance. So I already mentioned the two long-range tries from Kelly. And I don't know, sometimes you do get the feeling that teams have hoodoos over other sides, but I don't know, I think that you just got to Pat Hull kicks the Rovers on the back, and for St Helens, they've got to wipe away their bloody nose and go again.
OK, let's hear from the coaches in Coach's Corner for this show. Let's hear from Cunningham and Harris, but it's Cunningham first.
Well, Kieran Cunningham, the hoodoo's gone at last.
Yeah, I think it was probably a bit more conclusive. It should have been. We was in control of the game for large quantities, and you know, it should have been a comfortable game for us in the end, but Warrington are a great threat and we know they can score from anywhere on the field. But that's what rugby league's about, isn't it? And the Saints Warrington games have been, they've been super games for decades, haven't they? And as far as I can remember back, they're always good challenges and good games, and sort of form goes out the window, and both teams come off the back of a good result last week, and you know, it could have gone either way at times. I think we would have been hard done to if we would have lost the game. I think we was in control of the game for large minutes of the game, and we probably deserve to be in a little bit bigger lead towards the end, but Warrington are a great side and they can score from anywhere, and that's why they're playing so well in the competition.
Yes, and Harris, another win for Salford. Must be happy with the performance tonight.
You know, happy with the way we defended particularly, and looked as though we had real energy defensively and a real want to keep Widnes away from our try line. And you know, you've got to have that in abundance in Super League, and we perhaps haven't quite had that intensity in our defence in the early stages of the year. And you know, to have that resilience about us means that, you know, when you score the points, you look a very good team. And you know, we've been scoring points, we've just been conceding a few too many. So defensively, I was really happy tonight.
Certainly Widnes look better when they're a man down, bizarrely.
You know, it can happen that, and we started to get a little bit loose in our play. We dropped a lot of ball in that 20-minute period just before half time, and allowed Widnes a lot of good ball on us, and a lot of times to be able to play. And I know there were a few personnel down tonight, but they've still got some very dangerous players out there, and we needed to make sure we were resilient at that time. And you know, when I went in at half time, the players were talking exactly the right words before I even got in there. So you know, it shows that we're making progression as a group, and you know, hopefully we can continue that.
Challenge was to score first and that second half to really set you on your way, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I think the challenge was to stay in the grind. You know, the start of the second half, you know, was to complete your sets. You know, make Widnes come out of yardage and don't give any silly little penalties away. And we spoke about that at half time, and they were very clinical, you know, in the second half. And I thought, you know, Michael Dobson, Rangi Chase, Kevin Locke, they ran the game exceptionally well. They picked the right times to kick and the right times to go up the middle, and showed real maturity there. So it's important that we keep that maturity in us.
And when the tries were scored, the guys seemed to enjoy it and showed a lot of team spirit.
Yeah, they did, and that's probably something that we didn't work together as a team last week at Castleford, and didn't really get out of first gear. So it was important that we worked exceptionally well as a group tonight, and I thought we did that very, very well, and I think they enjoyed it in the second half. And you could see the energy from the team when somebody made a positive impact in the game. Everybody got around them, and you know, when you're together as a group, you're always difficult to beat, and we're just going to make sure we're together every week.
Did that tonight, and well done.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.
Parky, we just heard very shortly before from Kieran Cunningham and Yiston Harris in Coach's Corner. Yiston Harris talking about his big win against Widnes. Kieran Cunningham talking about that big win against Warrington in round six.
Yeah, if I can start with the Salford game, I thought that they did dominate that from the start, to be fair, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I thought it was built in the pack more than anything. Now, that's an area where Widnes have been particularly strong, but they lacked a little bit of craft, didn't they? Because they didn't name a proper starting hooker. It ended up with Aaron Jeremiah playing a bit of both halfback and hooker roles, you know. So looking at it, he was doing an awful lot of work and probably didn't deserve to be on the losing side, by the way, Aaron Jeremiah. I think he's been a real bright spot in the witness campaign so far. But what I am going to say is that Scott Taylor and Lama Tazi were both in really, really good form for the Salford side, and they kept... they made decent yards all the way through the game and basically kept them going and kept them on top. I think it's an interesting one with Salford, isn't it? Because there you've got, we've already mentioned him, haven't we, once in the show, but you've got Marwan at the head of it all, who's craving success.
You sound like you've got an affection for Marwan Kukash.
Oh, I tell you what, I do genuinely like the bloke. I like what he says, and to be honest, it puts Rugby League in the spotlight, and that's something that we've not been used to.
Well, he's finally announced his plans to maybe go and have a bit of an interest in the Gold Coast Titans. I wonder where that'll leave his interest with Salford, if that comes off.
Well, it does make you wonder, doesn't it? Yeah. But obviously he's put a lot of money into Salford, and
is he swapping the Gold Coast of Australia for the Irwell Valley of Manchester? Or is it the Irwell Canal?
Maybe he's also looking to get a horse in the Melbourne Cup coming up, you never know. Because, I mean, that's where he's made his business, isn't it? And where he's made his fortune in horse racing. But it's an interesting one. And I just hope that if he does go over to the NRL and he does bankroll the Gold Coast Titans, he takes Adrian with him. but also, I hope that he doesn't lose his affection that he's grown for the Salford club and leave them in the lurch, because that's the last thing that they want.
Championship's reached round six, and the action for me, the action from round six was Batley pipping Donny at 16-14 to pile on the walls for Paul Cook's men.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough period at the moment, isn't it, for Doncaster? They've lost their last eight matches in all competitions, so they're not in particularly sparkling form, and it's not looking too good. The pick of my action from that same round of the Championship came over at Dewsbury when Featherstone Rovers were able to down the colours of the home side. This was after it being 20-all at half-time. Quite a spectacular game, by all accounts. Featherstone winning in the end 38-28, and a hat-trick there from Remy Marginet.
Just thinking about Paul Cook, he's got a full head of hair, hasn't he, at the minute. Now, I'm sure after that game against Batley, he'd been looking at John Kerr thinking, crikey, this continues, I'll look like John Kerr.
Yeah. And certainly, it's worrying times for him, because although there's been quite a few changes in that Doncaster team, if you actually look at the squad that he's assembled there, on paper it looks better than last year, but I think they've been a little bit too reliant on the dual contract situation with Hull, and obviously with them having a few issues of their own and a few injury worries, they've not been able to get the players through playing for them over the last few weeks.
We're going to hear from Paul Cook very, very shortly, but before that, let's hear from Anthony Murray as his Celtic at Northwest Crusaders. That's the old name, wasn't it? Celtic Crusaders.
I'll dig you out of the hole. Yes, thanks. It was originally.
Champions Cup reached round four. Crusaders in Championship 1 expected to have been not good enough to beat the Donnies, but on the day they were far too strong and came up with a cracking scoreline. And I caught up with Anthony Murray as he talked about the game that just happened against Doncaster. Well, first of all, Anthony Murray, well done today. You're expecting a tough game. My, when they went the other way, you won comprehensively.
Yeah, it's absolutely a fantastic result for us. It's more pleasing for us as a group of people, because of obviously last season Doncaster beat us twice, and we only just missed out. And it's a great achievement for the boys that were here from last year, and obviously for the new recruits that we've brought in. It just goes to show that we have strengthened, and the boys have made massive improvements. And to beat Doncaster, a division above us, with that margin, is really pleasing. I was more pleased with only conceding 12 than I was scoring 40. We're sort of trying to pride ourselves on our defence, and our attack sort of taking shape, and as it did today, we ran in the first half at 90% completion rate, and I think it just goes to show you keep hold of the ball, you're playing the right areas of the field, and we're a side that we can compete with anybody.
Mentioned the defence, it was pretty outstanding at times there today.
Yeah, it is, and we've worked hard on it, and the boys are showing a real commitment to defend our line. And I think if you've got that commitment in your team to defend your line, you're not going to have a too bad of a season. The commitment's there from the players to defend their line, and not wanting to teams up to get across our whitewash, which is good.
What do you think the key to success was today, other than the defence?
I think the key to success was we were patient this week. We controlled our sets. We finished in the better. They feel our kicking game was a lot better, and we just asked more questions of Doncaster than what we did last week of Rochdale, and it was just our completion rate overall was running at about 80, So, which was that was the main difference for us today, our completion rate.
So about scoring tries, and Rob Masson ran in four for you, which helped the cause.
Yeah, you don't really normally hear of wingers scoring that many tries today, do you, like that? So yeah, it just goes to show that we're pushing the ball around, and you know, and again, like, you know, we just didn't, you know, we bombed about two or three as well, which again is pleasing. But no, it's nice to see Rob getting across the whitewash for four tries, did you say? Because he does a lot of work in yardage. He's like an extra second row in yardage, and for him to get some joy at the other end of the fields, you know, that's great for him as well, for all the hard work he puts in yardage.
Overall though, it was a great team effort.
Massively great team effort, you know, from everybody, and it was just nice for the, you know, to give the home fans something to cheer about, and you know, it's good for the home fans to sort of see, like, you know, look, we got beat twice last year off them, and this year, you know, we've made those improvements, and we just got to carry on improving and doing the right things in the right areas.
League season's not started yet for you. What kind of message does this send out to the other teams in League One?
It just sends out a message that, you know, that if we can play, and you know, if we keep hold of the ball, you know, we can, you know, cause some damage to the opposition. But I'm not getting carried away with it. We've won. We've had a good win. I'll enjoy the win. But now the focus is on Oldham.
Well, the focus really being on Oldham, but the game was postponed due to weather.
Yeah, quite ironic that both iPro Sports semi-finals were postponed, really, for the same reason. They had real dodgy weather conditions, didn't they, on that particular weekend. But well done to North Wales Crusaders. I think that they're definitely a team that's on the up. I think that last year, they did take quite a few heavy hits and heavy defeats, but this time round he seems to have galvanised that squad a little bit, and he's obviously looking towards the future, and they played really well. I saw them in pre-season play against Lee Centurions, and they played very well on that day, scored 20 plus points, and to be fair, as it's been shown over the championship season so far, not that many teams have managed it.
I know a lot's been mentioned of the League One teams, with like Oxford losing out to Lee Miners, but North Wales, they're in pre-season. And what does that say about Doncaster? They've got big problems if they go there and losing the man they did, 40 points to 12. So it's a big scoreline.
As I said, Doncaster, that was the first game that they didn't have any dual contract players from Hull available to them, and it does suggest that they have been maybe a little bit over-reliant on them, can I say that, this season thus far. I hope that it turns around for them, because they're a really friendly club, they're excellent to deal with, they've got one of the, if not the best, stadiums in the championship, so I wouldn't wish them to get relegated at all, and I do hope that Paul Cook is the man to turn it round. Certainly his chief executive, he's trying to do that, and it's backed him fully after that defeat.
Rob Masson scored four tries in that game, and I caught up with him straight after it. Crusaders playing Doncaster today, you came up with the win that gets you into the next round of the Champions Cup.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's just showing great team spirit this year, so nice bond when we're playing, so I think we can beat nearly any team really at the moment. So
you guys must be really happy to have beaten a team that's above you in the league as well.
Yeah, especially beating Batley in the pre-season as well, and then coming up against Doncaster, who beat us twice last year. It's just good to hold our own against a team like that, because obviously we're looking to go up.
You certainly played well in defence. There was a real desire to keep Doncaster down to as less points as possible.
Yeah, we've got an aim to keep nearly all the teams under like 17 points, so we don't really want to concede any more than that each game. So if we can do that, that's one of our goals as a team, as well as obviously scoring as many as we can.
18-6 up at half time. What was said in the sheds?
Just keep doing what we were doing. We weren't doing anything wrong. We were complete. I think we were up to like 90% completion. So just keep doing what we're doing and keep bashing at the door and it'll come down, sort of thing.
So you pay dividends and you got the tries on the board as well.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. A lot of I was just sort of finishing really good plays, really. So right place, right time. But obviously, it's nice to get on the scoreboard.
And for yourself personally, four tries.
Yeah, again, like, it's just great to get on the scoreboard. Feel like you've done something alongside the team. Obviously, my job's to finish really good moves, so it's nice to be part of it.
Everything's looking good for the club on the field in terms of the cup. League season starts shortly now with this win. What kind of message does that send out to the teams in League One about the Crusaders?
We can't be beaten. I think we've got a ruthless sort of attitude this year. We're really tight as a team on and off the field. I've played since it started, really, and it's never felt as close as it is at the moment. So it's really good to have that sort of feeling, like, on and off the pitch and training, and makes you Look forward to training.
Tell you what, one thing it does suggest, Rob Masson's a very laid back guy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's one kind of message we can send out.
I think I'm glad for Rob, because like he was saying there, he's been there since they've come back on the scene, North Wales Crusaders, so he's seen some heavy defeats, he's seen some really good victories as well, and if he says that things are on the improve there at North Wales Crusaders, he's a man that you've got to trust, isn't he? Because he's been there for that length of time.
Yeah, Rob Masson's more famous for being the part of the Welsh squad during the World Cup where everyone chipped in to pay for his fees to stay within the camp, wasn't it?
Well, that's right, because he was called up as a semi-professional player, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he had to take a lot of time off work, and it meant him going without money, you know, so they had to do something to make sure that he was compensated, to be fair. So well done to the Welsh team for believing in him, and well done to Rob as well. Since North Wales Crusaders come up on the rails again, he's been there and he's made a good impression and keeps scoring the tries, and to score four in a game, like Anthony Murray said, you don't hear of a lot of wingers doing that these days.
We've heard from the Crusaders, let's hear from a very unhappy Paul Cook. Paul Cook, how disappointing are you with that performance today?
Yeah, hugely. The message has got to finally get through sooner or later, and we're saying the same things every week, and we're coming up with excuses and reasons as to why things are going wrong for us, and then not fixing them. And you know, we've just asked questions in there of every player that, you know, what do you feel we need and what do we need to do, and they've come up with their own answers, and we'll see if things change from their side. I mean, you know, as a staff, we're scratching our heads a little bit as to where we go and what we do from here with regards, you know, what we do during the week and the content of what we're doing during the week. And then we're coming up and we're dishing up, you know, 9 penalties inside 25 minutes, and then we're trying to get back into a game which we've got no energy to get back in, and it's the same as last week, and it's the same as the week before, and it's the same as, you know, you can count right back to the beginning of 2015.
So basically the downfall to your defeat today was the penalties conceded.
I thought we conceded penalties late on and in tackle counts, and you know, we conceded a couple on play 5 and a couple on play 4, and then we knock on play 1 and twice, and you know, we keep making the same errors, and we just have got no energy to get into good. Well, when we do get into the right areas of the field, we're down on energy because of it. And you know, if the penny doesn't drop with the players soon, then as I said last week, it'll be a long year. And I said it the week before, and I said it the week before, and I'm running out of energy to tell them.
Obviously, your game's played on confidence, so a defeat like this gives a real body blow to confidence.
It's the same body blow as last week, and it's the same body blow as the week before. So as I said, it's got to change and change quickly. And the you know, we keep you coining the phrase after a game, the penny's got to drop, and when will the penny drop? But it's not at the minute, so we need to fix it quickly.
Certainly doing it tough, and you got Batley up next, it doesn't get any easier.
I know, should have beat Bradford 2 weeks ago. The one goal kick away from beating Bradford, who were favourites for the competition that we're in, and the only one we're left in. So you know, we need to work hard and stick together and come up with some answers and a little bit of a blame culture and a nicey culture where you know, we're picking each other up and sticking together. Sooner or later, as I said, the penny's got to drop with us.
They could be in a relegation fight.
Yeah, I think already they seem to be struggling, don't they, and heading down that route. But let's hope they can turn it round. But enough of unhappy coaches, because I want to compliment Lee Miners Rangers.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned
big
them just
win
before, didn't you? But I mean, it was a massive win that they came up with against Oxford. Plenty on social media. They had the full support of the town behind them. They introduced 100 club to try and pay the expenses of the stadium and the rental. They managed to smash that within 3 days of that being launched, and then came up with a super performance on the pitch. And although Oxford took the lead after about 5 or 6 minutes through Johnny Payne, that was goaled by Danny Allen, Lee Miners roared back and in the end scored 6 tries through Ellis Grimes, Scott O'Brien, Mick O'Boyle, Harry Gagan, Conor Ratcliffe, Adam Thomason, with former Widnes fullback Johnny Yeoads kicking 4 goals. So a massive win that. And I suppose when the other amateur sides that were left in the draw ended up getting rolled quite convincingly in Featherstone Lions, who lost 58-8 against York, and Normanton Knights, who got beat 78-6 by Bartley, they really are flying the flag for the amateur game, and it's good to see. And they've got an interesting draw in the next round as well.
Yeah, we'll give you that in a minute. Let's give you the other winners from round four of the Challenge Cup. Dewsbury 28, Newcastle 18. Barrow lost that to Halifax 56-16. Bradford always going to be too strong for Workington 74-61 on that occasion. Swinton Lions came up with the win in the Greater Manchester Derby 30-12. Sheffield defeated Oldham 44-20. Gloucestershire lost out to Hunslet Hawks 28-10. You mentioned Normanton Knights losing 78-6 to Batley. Whitehaven were not good enough for Feversham on the day. They lost 36-12 to the men from the Big Fella Stadium. Lee Mines, you mentioned them defeating Oxford. I mean, they were fearing on the coach on the way home. Feversham Lions lost out to York 58-8. Lee Centurions defeated London Broncos 64-12.
Yeah, that 64-12 result for Lee was just an amazing game as well. They played some great rugby league, really did push London Broncos all around the park, and it's going to take a good team at the moment to beat Lee Centurions.
In round five, it's still seeded, so we had four of Super League teams coming into the draw. That's the bottom four from last year. So we had Salford, both Humberside clubs came into the action.
Yeah, Wakefield
and
as well.
Wakefield as well. So how did it all pan out, Parky?
Well, Wakefield were drawn at home against Halifax. Lee Centurions got the plum tie against Salford Red Devils. Hunslet Hawks are at home to Dewsbury Rams. Lee Miners have a home tie against York City Knights. Bradford Bulls are also at home against Super League opposition in Hull Kingston Rovers. Sheffield Eagles, they're taking their game to Bramall Lane to host Hull. Batley Bulldogs, they're at home to Swinton Lions. And finally, the North Wales Crusaders, our team, left. They've got a home tie against Featherstone Rovers.
We're at the race course again, so I'm not having much of a road to Wembley, am I? I've had two trips to Widnes West Bank, and now this is the second trip to, third trip to the Crusaders.
You're having a great time. You're not really going anywhere from
far,
home.
I was hoping a nice juicy trip up Yorkshire or something.
Well, you never know. Maybe next time.
Hopefully it won't happen this time round, because we'll be hoping the flag will be flying with North Wales. But if it does come to an end for Anthony Murray's men, it's been a good journey with you, and we'll carry on with Featherstone.
And I'm certainly flying the flag for Lee Miners Rangers at the moment. You know, they've really impressed me with the way that they're going about their business, you know, at that club. They're a very progressive amateur club who have also started their own championship unbeaten.
Might even try your pie at Wrexham when they go there.
You're back to your pies again.
I think we'll go on the road with the pies. I had a nice pie at Salford last Friday.
You're going pastry mad again.
I know, can't help it.
You're going to be coming on and you're going to be sounding like one of these TV cooks, aren't you? I'm going to give that one 7 out of 10.
I might start doing that.
You're going to be coming in.
Pie trip.
You're going to be coming in like...
Rugby pie trip.
It's going to be like Strictly Come Dancing, Strictly Come Pie Eating with Adrian.
Yeah. I was having a chat with a rugby league journalist, Julie Stott, and we were on about the pie at Salford. It's a very nice pie, that it was. And I was saying to her, I don't really eat pies, but my bang goes out the window when I'm at rugby league events, because all you ever stick on is pies.
See, there you go. You can't escape them fully, can you, Adrian, mate?
I think when they send out the invites to these things, you know, when they say, are you coming or not? I think I have to put a dietary... requirement in the no pastry place.
Well, did you notice for the World Cup they actually did that on the application pack?
Did they?
You know, they didn't never stuck to it.
No,
I hasten to add. But yeah, there's Adrian, pastry extraordinaire, shall we say? And I'm sure he'll have some more thoughts for us in the next final hooter.
Without a doubt. Anyway, it's our favourite time of the year in the UK, where Super League gets to play two games over the Easter period. All coaches seem to not like it. That's the only year just happened since all the Aussie guys have been coming in, though, coaching other teams. Everyone just used to get on with it years ago.
It's just part of the culture, isn't it? It's part of rugby league. I can't see what anybody else is bothering about. And to be fair, you know, just get them played. Club chairman, they always look forward to this time of year, don't they? Because they get a home match, so there's bound to be cash coming through the turnstile.
It's always derby games as well, so you get like a bumper crowd.
Well, it depends which league you're in, doesn't it? Because Lee, for example, they're playing at home to Workington. That's hardly a derby.
No.
And away to Hunslet.
Bit difficult in the Championship to get any derbies for Lee, because they're the only team left in the Championship this side of the Pennines.
Well, that is true. But they could have put Lee and Halifax together. That would have been a shorter version, a shorter trip. But anyway, I digress.
Whereas in Super League, we've got Widnes and Warrington, we've got the Humberside Derby, that's heading for the South. Wigan versus Saints is already a South, so it's a bumper payday. But coaches just seem to dislike playing those two games either side, and then they even moan about the third game. I mean, don't get me wrong, I feel sorry for Widnes, because they have got the short straw. I mean, they play Warrington, then on the Monday night they're in France, then they got a tough looking game against Hull on the Friday.
And that is a tough run. Yeah. It's a lot of travelling involved there.
A lot of travelling.
But I just think that it's a ruse from the Super League chairman, Super League coaches, I should say, to get rid and only play the one game over Easter. It doesn't work, this one game. The Championship tried it a couple of years ago and Sue went back to the two games.
Now, Paul Rowley is a player who's played in the Easter period over both games, and he's been a coach in it as well. Let's get his thoughts on what he thinks about the Easter campaign.
Well, first of all, we've not got duels, so we're masters of our own destiny. But then sure, they've got an healthy enough squad. Our physios do a great job, so they make sure they're all available for selection. And I just think, I just don't see a problem with it, to be honest. It's not a problem at all. You reduce your training. The problem is on collision and impact. It's your duty to make sure you've got enough forwards to freshen up. And I don't know. We're looking forward to it. We're not fazed at all.
He's not fazed. We're not fazed. Did he just say the physios are up for the selection as well?
Yeah, well, maybe they might have to be if there's enough injuries. But it's interesting that with Paul and what he's done over at Lee, he's got a lot of forwards, to be honest, that he can select for. So he was saying to me just this week that he's got 28 players that are in training. So in essence, he could virtually name two different teams over the Easter period. So Lee in a particularly strong position and looking forward to it. But I don't think some of these Super League coaches are.
They obviously think about player welfare, and that seems to be the new buzzword, doesn't it? Player welfare. Amy McManus at the same time has come out saying he's concerned about player welfare after Travis Burns broke his cheekbone in the game against Hull Kingston Rovers. We've had Warrington bringing a game forward with player welfare in mind, and Lee even doing it.
Although I think the Lee one was just so that it made London Broncos trip a bit more arduous.
Is that what it was?
Not
dirty tricks being played by the Centurions, eh?
Well, it happens all over the league, to be honest. what's he on about here, Eamon McManus?
I know, because the thing was, Travis Burns said, I'm not coming off, I'm staying on.
He played the full game with a broken jaw. Exactly. That's his business.
Yeah.
That's his business. It's what we like about rugby league. This is why we like
the rough,
players.
Tough game.
Rough and tumble, and very skillful as well.
I was speaking to Christine on the same night, and he played with a pop cartilage in his rib and just had an injection. He said it was painful, but hey, we're rugby league players, it's a tough game, just get on with it.
He seems to always play busted as well, to be honest, doesn't he? I show that you can count on one hand the number of games where he's been fully fit. But this is what we like. They're like our own gladiators, aren't they, rugby league players? And we'd really do appreciate every effort that they make for us on the field. No matter what team you support, you always appreciate the efforts of a rugby league player.
Get online with Radio General.
www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
Radio General Online has information about the station's presenters, along with our current programme schedule and details of how to make requests for patients in Warrington Hospital. There's also plenty of background information about Radio General, including our long history of broadcasting in Warrington.
Radio General Online.
www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
Keep in touch via Twitter
at Radio General WHR.
To find out more,
visit radiogeneral.co.uk.
Requests and dedications every day for Warrington Hospital.
This is your feel better station.
Radio General.
Parky, we are almost done and dusted. I've been running all the way through that show.
You have,
getting ready for Easter.
I thought that you was just preparing for
burning the calories off when I eat all those chalky eggs.
I thought it was more the London Marathon.
Yeah, I'm just getting ready for Easter, man.
Okay, no problem.
We'll see you. Have a nice Easter.